Welcome you tonight to our evening service in Toronto, Canada. If you're viewing our service online tonight, I want you to know you're very welcome. And our prayer, as always, is that the Lord will richly bless your time with us, fellowship around the Word of God, encouragement to everyone who is in standing in need of that. We're going to commence our service with hymn number 573, and we'll stand, please, to worship. It's a prayer. Is your life a channel of blessing? A question, and then a prayer in response to that, that we want our lives to be used by the Lord for His purpose. Let's stand, please, to worship. Seated. Let's unite our hearts, please, in prayer as we come to seek God tonight and to make that prayer and that desire one in our own hearts. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we wait in Thy holy presence, we're thankful again for the great joy that we have of being in the house of worship and of prayer and praise, of the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Father, we would ask that at the very outset of our service, we would all be very conscious, the Spirit of God helping us in our praying, helping us, Lord, as we read the Scripture, helping us to understand the Word of God and have it applied to our hearts. In every area of our service, Lord, we need the Spirit's help. And so we pray that tonight, our Lord Jesus has promised that where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is one of our number. And so, blessed Savior, come tonight and be very consciously present with every believer. Any who are in our meeting, Lord, or watching online who are unsaved, our prayer is as always that they would be convicted and converted, be brought to a living understanding of the Lord Jesus in their own hearts. Father, we pray that in these days and times when discouragement is a real thing, when we can all be weighed down with the pressures and the stresses of what's going on in the world through COVID and all the other issues, Lord, help us to cast our care upon the Savior, for He's promised to care for us. Help us, we pray, Lord, in the times when we are cast down, to lift up our eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh, to come with hope and expectancy that what we have in the Savior and where we stand today cannot be altered. Lord, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, may we walk each day in the Spirit of God. May we walk, Lord, with the knowledge that we are alive in Christ and alive forevermore. May we walk each day in the hope and with that absolute certainty that Jesus belongs to us and we belong to Him, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Father, help us, we pray, to be a witness and a light in our generation. Help us not to be afraid or ashamed to speak a word for our Master. Lord, bring across our pathway those who we can witness to and share the gospel with. It may be someone walking down the sidewalk past our home or past the place where we are. Might be someone that we meet in the store. Perhaps some unusual way that we come across someone's pathway. Lord, we don't want to have to pry the door open. So we're asking, Father, for the Spirit's direction and leading. We want to be used of the Master. Lord, we want to be faithful soul winners. We pray for the Spirit's guidance in this area. And we ask for your help, Lord. Make us faithful witnesses and servants of the Most High God. We ask, Father, to bless our congregation. How thankful we are for thy faithful hand on us throughout all these uncertain times. And Lord, we have found that once and again, you have proved yourself faithful to us, even when we are weak and unfaithful, Lord. And so we pray that that may continue and that the blessing would be upon those who feel not able to come out to the house of God yet. Bless them in their homes. Bless those who are our seniors, our elderly. Lord, we pray for those that need a touch of God upon their own bodies. Bless all of them. We gather them all up, Lord, in prayer. We often remember them each one by name. And tonight we do the same again. Think of our sister Ruth Slade tonight. Lord, we pray you would encourage her heart and touch her body. Remember Dr. McCullum. Remember Brother Sam and Ron. Remember those who, Lord, cannot be out because of sickness, maybe we don't know about, or perhaps just those feeling a little bit more secure to stay in. Meet them, Lord, at the point of their need. And unite us all. Thankful, Father, for supplying the needs and how the tithes and offerings have come in abundantly. And we give thanks for this, Lord, from our heart. And you have supplied the needs for us here in our fellowship. You've supplied the needs in the missionary accounting. And Lord, the faithful giving of your people has been a great blessing. Continue to prosper and supply the needs. And Father, for some in the congregation who are needing employment, Lord, we're asking specifically tonight that you would meet that need and you would open that door And you would indeed give them a right employment that will meet their needs and pay all of their expenses and everything that is in line according to your will. And so, Father, we think of our school and we pray for Whitfield, thankful for your kind and faithful hand upon our administration, upon our staff members and the students, upon the families and the parents. And Father, we're asking that their needs would also be supplied, and you would cover with the umbrella of your blessing and protection upon this entire ministry. Lord, hear our prayers. We're thankful that we've been able to come to this point in time. And Lord, we know it has been extra work and extra stress upon our staff. Lord, support them, hold them up, keep them going, bless all the student body. We pray that this year might be a year of salvation. Lord, a year of spiritual advancement, a year where the devil has been defeated in every area where he would attempt to undermine and to take away from our young people. Lord, bless them. Hear our prayers now. Remember all our sister churches tonight. Remember all our mission stations. Bless, Lord, and prosper in each one. And help us to be a light. Help us to be a witness. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us in revival blessing so that across our nation, this congregation, our denomination, would be a witness to shine very brightly for our Master. Lord, help us and keep us. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Let's praise the Lord again. Number 529, take up thy cross, and we'll stand, please, to sing.
Thank you.
Thank God for the Christian. There is a day coming when the cross that we have been so admonished to take up daily, the cross of Christ, will be set down, will be set aside to take up the crown which the Lord has promised. The Apostle Paul, he also knew something of what that meant and the looking forward to it. And we're going to read about that now in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The opening verse, please, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the alive, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We know that the Lord will again bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts tonight. This reading, I think you will see how it applies to the message that we want to think about in the life of Elisha later on in the service. Welcome again to our evening meeting. We're glad that you're here, and our prayer is, as always, that God would bless you, encourage your heart, and not only those who are present in person, but those watching virtually. We pray that God would encourage you and strengthen your heart. Do remember our sister Ruth Slade in your prayers. The Lord would bless her and help her during this time of bodily weakness. Remembering also Tony Puccini. We're thanking God that Tony's been brought through from the hospital time. He had some heart issues, but they have this under control now and by the Lord's great kindness. Let's pray, all of us, one for another. And you know, as you go about your daily work, wherever you are, wherever you might be, make this prayer that God would just bring to your heart some brother, some sister to pray for. And I believe that when we do that, the Lord will answer that prayer, sometimes in unusual ways. And He will just, in kind of strange circumstances, it might be something that you wouldn't normally think would remind you of someone, but all of a sudden you bring that person comes to your mind. Well, when that happens, don't just brush it off, but say, Lord, bless that brother, bless that sister in the Lord. And as you pray that prayer, that all of us, we will be drawn closer to the Lord. As God brings you to my heart, I pray for you. As He does likewise, I trust that you will pray for me, as I need much your intercession as your pastor and one responsible to open the Word of God to you, that I will be found faithful to the Lord. So these are important things to remember. I won't go over the details, really, of our presbytery meetings that we had last week, Tuesday and Wednesday, only to say they were a great blessing. And let us continue to remember all the ministers of our churches across Canada, the United States, and our missionaries. On our weekly bulletin, we used to highlight each of the churches, and I think that's a good thing for us to remember to do again. And I would encourage Brother Jonathan to put that on the list every week, that we'll remember a different one of our churches and to remember the various prayer needs that they have. The offering plates are in the foyer at the back, and if God is directing you to put your offering there, we encourage you to do that in the Lord. Of course, the members who are here and the faithful friends, that's your pattern, your habit, and we're glad about that. But others who are listening, even online, if God is directing you to direct your offering toward the ministry, well, you'll be able to contact us by email and get some help to know how you can contribute to this ministry. We're going to sing again, please, number 560. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Remain seated, please, while we sing. to leave out, actually, the verse number 4. It spoke about the silver and gold, only for time, that's all. But I figured, well, after the message this morning about the widow putting in her 2 mites, we couldn't actually leave that verse out. So that would be applicable as we think about giving and thanksgiving, giving back to the Lord for all His kindnesses to us. And whatever silver or gold the Lord blesses us with, well, let us give back to Him that portion that is rightfully belonging to Him. We'll stand, please, for the final verse, verse number 6. Let's turn again, please, now in our Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. We're in chapter 2, 2 Kings. Verse 9. Please, 2 Kings 9, down to 15. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in 2 pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah, it fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer just now? Father, as we continue in our study of the Word and of the life of Your faithful servants, our prayer tonight is that we would not just look at these events with familiarity and think, "Oh, I know what's coming next." Lord, I pray that we would penetrate deeply into the Word, that we would dig down into the mine of Scripture, and there would be fresh application by the Spirit of God to every heart. And Lord, I pray this for my own soul. I ask this for every one in this church. And I'm praying, Lord, that those viewing virtually would also understand and see, and the Spirit of God would apply truth to every heart. I need your help tonight, Lord. I am weak of myself. I am unable to present the Word of God in the way it is supposed to be presented. Lord, I pray for that unction and help from heaven, that which is not from man himself, but that only comes from the God of heaven. Lord, pour out thy Spirit tonight, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Passing the baton. That's the situation before us tonight in this situation of Elijah and Elisha. You know, successfully passing the baton in a track and field race is much harder than it looks. My limited track and field going back to high school days, I remember stumbling and falling. When you're looking backward with your hands stretched out as the guy that's running up toward you, and you start running and you run too far and he doesn't run fast enough, and you end up messing the whole thing up, dropping it on the ground. Well, if that happens, the race is finished. It's over. Those who practice this in that particular track and field event, the athletes, they look at this with intensity. They practice this over and over again. For that exchange, it must be smooth. It must be accurate. It must be definite, or else your team, your race is over. And I present to you tonight the imagery of passing the baton is an appropriate one, not only for vocations and ministries. It's often so important in the pastorate of the transfer of responsibilities from one hand to the next. I shared with you not that long ago, and I do so again tonight, this very important memento that I received from Dr. McClelland when I took up the responsibility of being the senior pastor here in this church on January the 18th, 2008. This piece of wood has special significance because it was carved from a branch of an old apple tree that was just outside the front door of the church. And that apple tree was planted over 100 years ago, before anyone really lived in the area, and it was all farmland. And that apple tree survived for a long, long time. And so the insignia, the stamp that is on here on this gold plate, preaching Christ, it says, the apple tree, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 3. And there is a great parallel of the apple tree itself and of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is exactly the shape of a baton, 1 foot long and about the same diameter. And so as it is passed from one to the next generation, the idea is that the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ will be continuing in this pulpit, in this church, in this congregation, to the next generation that comes. May this also be an important demonstration of what is important, so that this church will be kept faithful in the gospel until Jesus Christ returns. How long that will be, none of us know. But let every believer who sits in a pew here, every member of this fellowship, let that be your constant prayer, that God would set a hedge around this pulpit so that only those will stand here who determine to be faithful to Jesus Christ until He comes back again. For if any would stand here and present any other gospel, let the doors be closed. Let the building be demolished. For the testimony and witness is through and finished. No, friends, there is something that is so vital and important of passing on the heritage of the gospel of Christ to those who will come next. Does that fit in, friend, tonight, in your Christian life? Why has God brought you here? Why has the Lord called you to be a part of this fellowship? There is a reason and a purpose for it. Oh, we are a small number, there is no doubt. But never let that faze you for a moment. Never think for a moment that, oh, if only we had more numbers, if only we were greater in... No, forget that. There is only one thing that matters. Are we fulfilling the cause of God in our generation? Are we fulfilling the ministry that the Lord has placed within our hands? The transition that was about to take place between Elijah and Elisha, oh, it was so important. The final question that was asked to Elisha, "What will I do for you?" And he answers back without hesitation, "Oh, I pray you that a double portion of your Spirit would be upon me." And we noticed last Lord's Day evening that that prayer request indicated that Elisha was truly a man of God. He recognized his own limitation. He knew that without God's help, he would not be able to fulfill his calling. He placed spiritual blessings above anything else. And he asked that he would know God's Spirit upon him. And he both perceived the importance of that and he pursued after it with all his heart. And God answered his prayer. Tonight, we're thinking about the parting of Elijah and Elisha. God would take His servant to heaven, bypassing death, the mantle or the cloak that belonged to God's old prophet that had been used to sweep over Elisha, signifying the call of God to him. Now those events and all the things around that story in this account tonight, it is my prayer that as we look at this unique scene, some things will come to us to assist in our spiritual walk, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? We haven't come here tonight for a history lesson. We haven't come here tonight just to hear another story and have something revised to us. The reason we're in the house of God tonight is that the Spirit of the Lord will take His things and write them upon our life so we'll be changed, so that we will be more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus. Please notice out of these events, the first thing is this: the painful, the searing loss of a spiritual giant in his day. The painful, searing loss. Elisha cries, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Can you enter in for a moment? Can you listen in and hear how Elisha expresses that, and how his heart is open and broken as he cries out to heaven, to Elijah, to God. You know, they had more than just a casual acquaintance, because Elisha had followed the man of God for years. Though the scripture does not tell us many details of that, we know the devotion of the young prophet toward his master, even by the final day that they spent together, or days, as he stuck with him as they went from one city, one town, one place to another, and until this point where they have to be separated. The reaction of Elisha to the loss of the old prophet, it's touching, friends, but it's very informative. And I believe there's help for us and there's instruction, for he loved this man and was genuinely brokenhearted when Elijah was taken from him. The words that burst forth from his lips, they reveal the esteem in which Elijah was held. "My father," he cries, "my father." The word father, translated from the Hebrew word ab, simply two letters, A and B in our alphabet. They have a wide range of meaning, from a father in a family to an ancestor, someone who was a grandfather or a great-grandfather, was often referred to just as our father. He was also known as a ruler or a chief or a master. It was a general term that was specific at times and then very broad at other times. Well, we know that Elijah was not Elisha's real father, but he most definitely was a spiritual father to him. And in that sense, his love and the highest respect he had for this man of God, the spiritual father to him. My dear friends, it's a good thing to have a healthy respect for God's servants. It's a good thing to look at those who are your seniors, those who have been on the Christian road for a number of years, and to have in your heart a deep and genuine love and respect for them, because they have seen much of God's provision and power and His blessing on their lives. They have much experience to share with those of the younger generation. Let us cherish and reverence those who have been down the road with God before us. This expression, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, well, it has led to a variety of explanations. But as it was spoken to Elijah or about Elijah as an exclamation, something that was expressive of that moment, I believe we can understand what Elisha meant when he said that. The older prophet had been such a stalwart of the faith. His public and lonely stand against the evil of the nation, it had inspired confidence in the hearts of the remaining faithful. We don't know necessarily all who they were. There were more than even Elijah knew about, but there were some still in Israel. And as they heard that name, Elijah, the man of prayer, the man of faith, the man who stood against kings and was raised up as a prophet of God, he was faithful to the Lord. And when the armies of Ahab could neither find him nor stand against him, he stood for truth, and he honored the God of heaven who had called him, empowered him, and directed him to be a light and to be a witness to the nation that had forsaken God, the Lord still had a beam of light through this man Elijah. And I say this to you, that Elijah indeed was a chariot of Israel. He was representative of the true army of God. One man, but yet one man who himself was riding in that chariot of righteousness, a soldier who slew more with the jawbone of the Word of God than thousands of others that could have ever done of an infantry or an army. He was mighty in the hand of God and more powerful than many horsemen. For when old Ahab sent his soldiers to find him, they were powerless against this man. They could not even arrest him. And when they were sent to try and bring him back, well, the first and the second crew were not too successful. And the third one had to come and plead with Elijah to spare their lives. Why was that? Because Elijah was invincible until God decided that he should come home. Believer, you are invincible until God determines to take you home. Therefore, let us not be fearful. Let us not be filled with terror. Let us not be filled with angst. Rather, let us walk in trust. Is it not true that one with the Lord is a majority? The ungodly and, I would say, doubtful believers, well, they do not know the value and the power of prayer of one warrior with God. I got communication from a lady this week who joins us in our Wednesday evening Bible studies. And she said, "I love to be a part of the prayer warriors of TFPC." And that warmed my heart. I was glad to hear that. Someone who loves to be a part of a fellowship of people who are in touch with their God, whose hearts are flowing out and burdening over in their prayers and devotions to the Lord. Yes, that's a blessed characteristic. And what a reputation it is, friend, to have. Elijah was one man who in the hand of God overturned the forces of evil. Psalm 20 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we, the people of God, will remember the name of the Lord our God." We will remember. We will adhere to. We will worship the living God. We will call Him our God. What will we do, friends, when the prayer warriors of our congregation have been taken from us? What would be our cry? My father, my mother, the chariot of God and the horsemen thereof, those who were powerful with God in prayer, but they've been taken from us. They've gone to their long reward. Their seat is empty. Who will step in to that place? Who will take up that challenge and that charge? Who will bombard the very gates of heaven in prayer? Oh, friend, we need faithful men and women. We need those who are prayer warriors. I look at the past of our own, the history of our church. I know of many who have been taken from us, and I think of them with so happy and fond memories. I can name them off in my heart and my mind. And I remember hearing them in the place of prayer. And I remember weeping with them in the prayer meeting as they laid hold upon the horns of the altar of God in prayer. And they called down the blessing of the Lord upon this fellowship. And I will tell you this, today we are reaping the benefit of their prayers to this day. Will the next generation reap the benefit of your praying, of mine? Will they? Or do we neglect the place of prayer too often? Are we mighty for the living God? This past week, I listened to a prayer that was recorded by Dr. Paisley. It was in 1988 at the Easter Convention in Northern Ireland. Jill and myself were at that convention because I was studying there for the gospel ministry at that time. And Martyrs Memorial was the church that we went to whenever we were not on deputation with the college. At that Easter convention, it was the final meeting. And this prayer was recorded as the messages were. And I hope on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting to play that for you. And when I have listened to that prayer, I realized that there was an Elijah, a man in touch with God, but he's gone now to his long reward. And who will take that place? Who will pick up that baton of prayer and run and run and run? In history, during the reign of the Roman Catholic Queen of Scots in Scotland, she was reputed to have said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." What a statement. How would she say that? Because when John Knox confronted the Queen of Scotland, he pulled no punches. And he told her exactly what he thought of her, of her ruling, of how she was against God and His Word. And when Knox prayed, and he prayed, "Lord, give me Scotland or I die," he meant that it would be under the influence of the Bible, of the Word of God. And Knox was responsible under the Lord for bringing the Protestant Reformation and the liberty of the Bible and of overturning the errors and the false doctrine. Yes, Knox was a hero, I suppose you would say, in Scottish church history, and one that struck fear into the enemies of God because he spoke the truth. You say tonight to me, "Well, I don't have many talents to serve the Lord with." Have you forgotten, friends, the power of prayer? Have you forgotten the power that is at our disposal? If only we realized what could be accomplished for those who are sold out to God Yes, Elijah was such a man. And when he was taken from the earth, Elisha knew that there would be a great gap in the defenses. And that's why he cried out, my master, my father, the chariot of God and the horsemen thereof. He saw a whole army gone. And the army of righteousness. You know, as part of the Church of Christ in our day, we need to pray for God to move and answer to the prayers of His people and to raise up men and women of prayer who know how to lay siege at the throne of grace, that God would raise up His standard in our time to hold back the forces of evil that are coming like an express train to our nation, to our province, our city. And what should we as believers do? We need to be praying that God would resist the evil and He would bless the good. And let us be again brought to our knees in prayer before the living God. This prayer must start in us. Because if we call ourselves the people of God and claim to walk in the name of Christ, then we must repent of our sin and turn from whatever wicked ways we have and seek the Lord with all our hearts. And then the God of heaven will hear our prayers. He has promised to do this. He will heal our church, our churches, our denomination, our land. He will pour out His Spirit to strengthen believers and to save precious souls. So yes, for Elisha, there was a searing loss because of the spiritual giant that had been taken away. But please notice in the second place, Elisha took up the mantle. We don't know if Elisha was ready to take up that baton that was passed to him. It seems it would have been happy for him to see Elijah continuing on with him. I don't think he wanted him to go. I think Elisha would have been quite happy to just to be his servant, to pour water on his hands and to take care of him and to be with him for many, many more years down the road. But that was not the purpose of God at that time. Because remember this, that God is never early and He's never late. He's always on time. And it was the time now for Elisha. Time for him to start running on his own, to run his own race. And in order for him to do that, he had to take firm grasp on the baton. The mantle that had fallen down to the ground was being passed to him. Would he take it willingly or reluctantly? If he knew the call of God upon him and the destiny that God's purpose was for his life and that of Israel, well, he must stand up to the challenge. He must now take hold upon this, because if he refused, please understand this, if he refused, God would raise up deliverance from somewhere else. That's exactly what he told Esther. Because you see, if we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, and we step away from our responsibilities, we will be the losers in the long run. Our thoughts, ideas, dreams are just that, you know, until they're put into action. Please look at verse 13. It says, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell to the ground. He took up the mantle of Elijah. He was not forced to pick it up, because God uses willing participants in His church work. Fearless, maybe. Fearful, yes, I would say that's true. Full of questions, certainly Elisha had questions. But beyond it all, he knew that he was called of God, and there was no turning back for him. When that mantle fell from Elijah and he saw it fall down, he knew that his time was come. Now, it wasn't tomorrow, not next week, next year, but it was right then. You know, timing in the work of God is very important. And how and when the Lord works in a man's heart, it's so often part of the personal wrestlings of a man with the will of God. And I cannot speak any more clearly than my own personal experience of when God was dealing with me about full-time service, and how that I knew for a period of about 8 years that God had spoken to me, He had called me, I felt. But there were times of the fire of the Lord, I would say, burning very brightly in my soul, and other times it seemed to flicker down very low. But there came a point in time where I knew that now was the call of God upon my life, and now I must move and go. For to delay any further, that would have been sin, because I would have been disobeying the Lord. But I can't judge that for anyone else, and neither can you. It's between the Lord and the individual man He is dealing with. I wonder, friend, has the Lord been dealing with you? Let no man put any pressure on you. That would not be fair. This is a matter between a servant and his master. And that's the place it was for Elisha. He picked up the mantle. He reached forth his hand and took up the call of God in his life then. Notice, please, finally tonight, the public validation that God chose this man, the public validation that He chose him. Verses 14 and 15 says, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Another question. And when he'd also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Where is the God of Elijah? The second question in a very short time for this man. Yeah, he had a lot of questions. Not too many answers, maybe, not just immediately, but the answers were going to be coming before very long. Was God now with Elisha? Would he show himself strong on his behalf? Would the prayer for a double portion be answered? And so he took the mantle, crying out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he wrapped the mantle around his hand, and he hit the water. And in so doing, God caused the waters to part. and Elisha went over on dry ground. God had heard his prayer. And Elisha will start off, the very first miracle that he will do is the very last miracle that Elijah did. And so he's now commencing where the old prophet left off. The sons of the prophets that were stationed near Jericho, they had done so to witness the events of that time. Well, they saw what occurred and they realized immediately that Elijah's spirit has now been placed upon Elisha. And they bowed themselves toward the ground. This was a very public display of the validation for the ministry that God had set this man apart for. So, Elisha was now the official successor of Elijah. Years ago, I heard Dr. Talmage Spence of Foundations Bible College say these words, "A success without a successor is a failure." In other words, a ministry blessed by God without someone to faithfully carry on the work will only be for that time, and it will not continue. And that's very sad, friend. Too many ministries end up not continuing on. But you know, the Lord loves to bless and prosper those who desire to carry on His work to the next generation. You have an example of Moses with Joshua. The example of David with Solomon, at least at the beginning of his time. Elijah and Elisha. Paul and Timothy. And right down through church history, so many examples. And friend, that's our prayer here in this place. We are praying now for God to raise up those who will be able to carry on this work. You pray with me in that. You pray with our elders and our deacons to that end, because we are praying for that right now. We're asking the Lord to ever watch over and protect this pulpit, and to pray for those that are to come afterward to stand here in this place and to take up the key positions in our ministry, which is beyond us, both our church and our school. It is so important. One step in the wrong direction and the whole thing could come crumbling down. We have seen, friends, we have known, and the evidence of these things press upon us from church history, from examples in the Scripture, from our own knowledge. You pray that God will raise up someone who will not compromise the truth of God, who will stand faithful in the face of great opposition, who will always want to be true to the Lord without compromise, not selling away our heritage for a mess of pottage. Oh, friends, as we conclude tonight, what are we to do? Oh, we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. That's what we are to do. We're to wait patiently upon Him. That's what we must do, because we know that He will bring it to pass. He will fulfill all for the glory of His Son, for the extension of His kingdom, and for the honor of His own great name. May we pray to that end, because as the baton is passed from one generation to the next, that it will go forward with the power, with the anointing, with the absolute certainty of God's blessing in place. Friend, do you know Him tonight? Listening online, are you saved by His sovereign grace? Because if you don't know the Lord, you can't pray to this end. If you're not truly a believer, you're not on the starting line yet. You can't receive the blessing of God or the baton passed if you're not a Christian. Don't waste your life, friend. Come to Christ tonight. Lay hold upon Him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You will find He is willing to receive you to Himself. He is willing to forgive. He is willing to save. He is our Lord, our Master, our Redeemer, and He is our friend. Let's close in prayer. Father, now in the quiet moments of our service as we close, Lord, work. Speak to every heart. Reinforce in us the truth that we have learned and that we know, but maybe we have forgotten or neglected. Reinforce into our minds and hearts the value and the power of prayer. And make everyone in this place a prayer warrior before You, Lord, we pray. And when the seats are being emptied of the senior ones, and the heritage we have from those faithful leaders, we pray for Dr. McClellan tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for Your servant, a man of prayer, a man of God. May Your hand be upon him, we pray, to bless him, to encourage him, and to let him know that his prayers, they are valuable and powerful before the throne in heaven. Lord, I pray that as our seats are being emptied one by one, we know, Lord, that You bury Your workers, but Your work keeps on going. And for that we are thankful. Because if we have any part in it, it's been grace and nothing of ourselves. And so, Lord, do a deeper, more lasting work in all our lives, we pray. Now part us in Your fear and with Your rich and mighty blessing. We ask tonight in Jesus' name, amen.